Hello, everyone. This is our last week in the 13th chapter of Mark. Actually, I think I've gone pretty quickly. When you read the great deal that's been written about Mark chapter 13, there's libraries full. And so I'm speeding along. I'm just going to say that in light of people that would make fun of me of always going slowly. You wouldn't do that, though. All right. We are at the end of Mark chapter 13. We will read what we had, what we read last week, and then take up this week's passage, the end of Mark 13. But we'll begin in verse 28. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you that this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. All right. I was going to, let me say something that I've said several times here in your hearing about something about the secret rapture. As I look around the room, you all know the teaching that that God in his great mercy doesn't want anybody to suffer, especially his people, and that he will rapture us out before the tribulation. And that we won't have to suffer. And I've addressed that several times. And the teaching is simple. It's very modern. In the course of, if you look at history itself, it began in, 1800s, Tom? Somewhere in there that Christ would take us out before the tribulation and we would not have to suffer. And I think most of you here know that there are saints suffering profoundly this very moment. ISIS is crucifying people in Syria, in Iraq, crucifying Christians. And there's horrible suffering, and the suffering has gone on in China, in North Korea today, all over, in parts of Africa today. There are organizations that horribly treat Christians. There are only handfuls of Christians in Egypt. And Egypt is, you know, you can't build a church in Egypt. Did you know that without government permission? And so what they do is they tear down all the churches and then there you go. And there's very, very few churches in Egypt. Those are the Coptic church. And by the way, when I went to Egypt, the woman, the Muslim woman that was our guide, said Coptic means, you know what that means? It means Egyptian. The Arabs that run Egypt today are not Egyptians. They're Arabs. And she said, the only true Egyptians left in Egypt today are the Christians. All the rest of them have been just moved out. And so all the great masses of the people that live in Egypt today, that great mass is Arabic in origin. They are Arabs. And there's this tiny little group of Coptic Christians. And just so you know a little bit of history, I think it's interesting that they have traditionally, because no one wanted the job, their job was to pick up the trash in Egypt. And when the Muslim Brotherhood came into power 10 years or so ago, when they took Mubarak off the scene in Egypt, he was the head guy in Egypt, and the Muslim Brotherhood came in into power, and they are truly a terrorist organization. But nevertheless, they said, well, let's don't let the Coptics pick up trash anymore. Let's do it ourselves. And our Muslim guy said, and she said it quite bluntly, which was totally ridiculous, because the Arabs didn't want to pick up the trash. And I can remember, this is before she even said it, I can remember going down the street in this bus that they carted us around of, 16, of a little van kind of a bus. And I'm thinking, this is unsustainable. Because trash was everywhere. And I thought to myself, how could these people live like this? This can't go on. And then she tells this story. And so the Coptic people did not have a job. It was a way to get rid of the Christians. So when we say, even the most lenient, horrible job they couldn't have, but when we say that God is going to rapture us out before the tribulation, before suffering, is that not kind of a silly thing to say? It's only an American. What did Ravenhill used to say? It's only Americans, and maybe the English would say such things. The church suffers. And there's no sense that God is going to rapture us out before the tribulation or maybe mid-tribulation or somewhere in there like that. He is going to, there's only one second coming, kaboom, it's the end. And like we said several, in Matthew, if I can find it here, for as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And Steve and I talked about this last night, when did we talk about it? Wednesday, last time I saw him. It's something that you can't miss. When you see eagles circling overhead in a cauldron, you know there's some dead animal up there. Everybody knows it. It's so sure. And that's the meaning of that passage where it says, wherever the body is, there the eagles be gathered together. It is visual. It is something to be seen. God, Christ is not coming in such a way that no one will know it's happened. There's not a secret rapture. There will be a rapture. If you're for a rapture, would you raise your hand? I'm all for raptures. But there's only going to be one, and he will catch us up into the heavens, as Paul has described it. So just that, and all the people that probably I thought I might say that to don't need it. But anyway, there's no secret rapture coming. And it will be plain, there is a generation coming, verses 28 through 31, that will see the signs of this end. It will come. That generation, wherever it might be, there is a generation that will read the signs. And I'm just going to read just a jot of what Thessalonians says about all this. Paul says it. You know, I'm gathering together, I'm putting it together, I probably should hand it out to you, of all the references to the second coming in the New Testament, you know, it's just packed full. Packed full. This isn't even, it's not good enough. I don't know. It's just not good enough. Listen, This is Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness for that day to take you by surprise like a thief. Now, I like that. You and I are not in darkness. And when Christ comes, I want you to know there's a generation coming that will be the last generation. That generation, it won't take them by surprise, I guarantee it. Well, there'll be some sleepers. Later on, Jesus will say to his disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Are you still sleeping, taking your rest?" There'll be some sleepers. We all kind of sleepy. My grandkids, I'll say to them, "What do you think I want to do right now?" And they all look at me and they say, "Take a nap." They just tire me out. I just get around my grandkids for about both sides, Anna. So don't take this personal. All grandkids make me tired. And I get sleepy. We get tired. So the hour is coming, but we are not of a generation, as it says here. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to stress it for you. This shouldn't comfort you. But you are not in darkness. He's talking to the Thessalonians. You are in the light. The light already is shining. You are not in darkness, brothers, that the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk in the night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of the hope of salvation. Christ has died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live to Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. He wants us to be awake. And that hour, I'm going to stress it here, you are not in darkness that day surprise you like the coming of a thief. There was a time I can remember when Steve and I were what's one of the little pleasures in life, Bluebell ice cream. Steve and I were in Dallas and Fort Worth, and you know how Bluebell, for the longest time, you couldn't get it in some cities, you know, and if we bought it down here in Nacogdoches or something, the time we got it up to Dallas, Fort Worth, it'd be all melted out, you know, and everybody waited around for Bluebell to come. And I can remember it was a bright, shiny day when Bluebell came to that little town and right in the middle of Dallas. What was that town? Cockrell Hill. It was a little town of its own surrounded by Dallas. But all of a sudden, it was, noised abroad. Bluebell ice cream has come. You don't know where I'm going with this. But I thought it was such a cheerful day. A bright day. But we were sitting in the parking lot, Steve and I, maybe Billy and Leabeth had gone in to buy ice cream. And we were talking about the tribulation. And Steve mentioned something that Mrs. Rogers had said. We could very well be in the tribulation right now. And I thought, how would a juxtaposition of bright, happy Bluebell ice cream, and the sky was blue, and life was good. And she says, it could be the darkest hour, and we hardly know it. And that's good. So, here we are, a fellowship of believers that are meant to be awake and watching. And why? Because the hour, no one knows. And that's the point here. Jesus had told them the precise hour and day of Christ's coming, no one knows. The angels don't know. The Son doesn't know. Therefore, you know, if we knew the exact moment and day, we would set our phones to that and there'd be a little alarm 20 minutes before and we'd all get right with God 20 minutes before the coming. Wouldn't we? Lebeth sets these little alarms off and they go off at our house and she sets an alarm to do this or that. And I get them on my phone too. I better turn it off. Turn the alarm off. There's no alarm for this. There's no alarm for it. We don't know. And so what should we always be doing? Awake. Watching. Take heed, therefore, for you do not know when the time will come. Therefore, watch. It's like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to keep watch. Here's a similitude. And the other Gospels have it as well. But here's a similitude. He gives everybody a job to do. Each guy owes work. But they all know he's left. The head man's gone. This is the absence, this period of absence that they weren't ready for quite literally. The apostles weren't ready for that. They weren't thinking he was going to go off and there'd be a time of absence of a man going off in a journey. The nobleman. By the way, Luke says he went off, the nobleman went off to receive a kingdom. Oh, that's good. You know what Jesus is doing in heaven right now? Amassing and putting under his feet all things, and he is going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything's being shaken out that can be shaken. Everything is being rattled that can be rattled. What is the surest thing? We used to think the almighty dollar was, but can the Lord rattle a dollar bill till it isn't worth a dime? My dad always used to say, you know how much that is in real money? He always equated real money with when he was a boy in 1920s. Now that's when the dollar, you could get something with a dollar. But God is in the business of rattling things. And he's off giving a kingdom. Jesus is off receiving a kingdom. And so we have this similitude. Verse 35. He really gives it. He says, watch therefore. Jesus even tells us immediately what the parable is all about. We are to watch. But look at this, the parable first. Each man, he puts his servants in charge, each man to his work. There's all kinds of fellows in the household, and they have all kinds of jobs. What's your job? There is a guy who is a porter. Now, they all have their work to do, and they better get on with it. Is that true? Whatever your work is? There's not a soul here that doesn't have a job in the kingdom. We better get on with it. But there is a fellow, and I keep using these silly illustrations, and I'm going to keep it up until y'all get rid of me. My father's parents lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they were the servants of a very wealthy man. Somehow, I think it was the, yeah, it's one of the Mellons. Yeah, that's right. One of the Mellon bank. You know, there was a lot of those guys had money. They were kind of like the mega rich today. what are those fellers' names? I don't know. I don't even know their names, but I'm pretty sure they need to be broken up there, you know. Anyway, but the Mellons, my grandfather was a servant in this household. He was the chauffeur. And my grandmother, an Irish grandmother, good Irish woman, was the upstairs maid. And each person had a job. By the way, upstairs maid wasn't a high-class job. I mean, it was okay. You weren't out working in the garden or anything. But you basically laid out the clothing for the rich woman who didn't even bother to go to the cabinet and pull out and say, what, should I wear this? No, no. She had someone to do that for her, the upstairs maid. What a life. Each man has a job to do. And Lebeth used to watch that show about the servants in England. What was it? Downton Abbey. Did Steve watch it? Steve watched it too. And everybody had their job. And so here's this household. Everybody has this job. We are like, it's like we are have a job in the kingdom, and this is it. Now there is a fellow that has a very specific job. He stands at the door. He's the porter, or I don't know what New American Standard has. Does he have a doorkeeper or a porter?
Doorkeeper.
A doorkeeper. Same thing. Just a. There's a guy that's always by the door. And his job is to always be awake. And I don't know when he sleeps. They may have two of them. But whatever, the doorkeeper is never to be standing there snoozing, leaning against the wall. He's always to be awake. Why is he always to be awake? Because he doesn't know when the boss is coming back. If he knew, he would set an alarm on his smartphone. But he doesn't know. Therefore, he says, verse 35, watch. Keep yourself awake. This is a different word. The other watch is, you have, remember I told you how it says five times in this chapter, watch. This is a new, the first ones just mean look out. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled. This verse is watch, stay awake. Don't be snoozing. And there's several coming up here. And they're all about staying awake. Awake, O sleeper. Christ will shine on you. The porter, or the gatekeeper, is never off duty. He is to be vigilant and awake. He's not to sleep the slumber of oblivion. You know, remember the little pills called Somnex tonight? Does the little phrase come to mind? The little tune that some really smart person thought up that you can't get out of your mind? You remember the tune, Steve? He can't get it out of his mind now. Somnex tonight, so you could sleep. Yeah. Somnephra was the god of oblivion. What's the little flower that these Hispanics like to grow here in East Texas? The little poppy. It's opium somnephra. That's where we get our word somnex tonight. It's a little, old-fashioned gardeners used to grow opium poppies. Did you know that? Here in East Texas, we didn't make opium out of them. We just thought they were how pretty. But it's all about the sleep of oblivion. This guy was not to be asleep. Insensible to the world around him. He was to be awake. Alive. One commentator says it's one thing to be awake, the other is just another thing to be watchful. And he makes a strong distinction for that. I like that. Diligent. awake, never off duty. Is there ever a time when you can be off duty as a Christian? No. Just say, you need to put on your job title, watchman, porter. Mark Dodson has a wonderful, I don't know if he has him anymore, a business card. It says, Mark, what's it say? Hello, I'm Mark Dodson. I'm sorry. Isn't that what it says? Do you still have those? Oh, yeah? He should bring them all to us. It's a great card. And Abigail was at our house the other day, and she saw that little business card in my little library just sitting there. It says, I'm Mark, and I'm sorry. You know what you could add to that? Porter. Watchman. We all have that job. We may have other jobs, but we're all to keep. Now, Peter has a question, Luke chapter 12, verse 41. I won't read it to you. And Peter says to Jesus about a parable just like this. Well, who's this apply to? Everybody? We all want to know, are you talking to me, Lord? Or are you talking to Steve? Or Leabeth? Can I sleep? I want to know who you're talking to. And Jesus, in this text, doesn't have Peter's question, but it says, Jesus ends this whole thing, what I say, verse 37, I say to all, watch. Trade, and in the other gospels, trade and do your life until I come, but you watch. I think there's something interesting here, too, that this, it presumes that he's going to come in the night. There is a night. And I just want to, y'all may laugh at me, and I mentioned it last week, and I really liked the royal wedding. I really liked it. It was kind of cheerful. Y'all may think I'm girly. But I liked it. And I liked that song. Ben E. King sang it and wrote it. When the night is long. Is that how it goes, Lee Beth? You mean, babe? Huh? I wrote it down, but I didn't bring it with me. When the night is dark and are you getting it for me, honey? You have it? She's going to get it. I'm going to make her stand up and read it out loud. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, so everybody could hear. Can y'all hear her saying that? Okay, is that all? Okay, keep going, babe. Well, just read until I stop you.
No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me.
Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Boy, it's tough. She's a great woman. And she hardly knows I'm the head of the family. But you listen, there's something glorious about that, and I think it's timely. I won't be afraid. I won't cry. I won't shed a tear. If the mountains fall into the sea, as long as you stand by me. Now, I want you to know something. I thought it was sweet for that couple, and I hope they stand by one another. They can endure all kinds of trouble if they stand with one another. When you have to stand alone, you know what? We are a church here. And there's a great church in the earth. We are a fellowship of saints who will. This stuff's not supposed to catch us by surprise. We're supposed to be awake. Watching. We are of the day. Isn't that great? And we won't be afraid because we'll have our brothers standing there with us. Boy, that song just now, I can't even remember that ditty about Psalm X tonight. Ben E. King wrote that. Okay. Now, verse 36. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. You know what? It's going to be personal when Jesus comes. It's not going to, we are a fellowship, I just said it, indeed. And maybe there'll be whole churches that are half asleep. But essentially it's personal. Each one of us, God, when Christ comes, it'll be personal. And he'll kick us. Wake up. At least he finds you asleep. Wouldn't it be glorious if you're standing there awake when he comes? Verse 21 of Luke, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. One thing we do know as we wait for him, that he's up in the heavens. We don't know much of what it means, but he's receiving a kingdom and he's bringing that kingdom. There's households and mansions that he's building. Doesn't it say says that, doesn't it? And he's coming. If it weren't so, he'd tell us, but it is so. He is coming. So in light of this, take heed to yourselves, Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. Take heed to yourselves. Don't worry about what you missing it in some elaborate eschatology. And I can't help but remember someone talking about these black helicopters, Huey helicopters, were a sign of the end. Where'd they come up with that? Don't worry about that. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual awakeness. And we are to watch, not the newspapers. Take heed to yourselves. The more wide awake we are, the less likely we are to be caught by surprise. I tell you, it sounds as if Mrs. Rogers wouldn't have cared about Bluebell ice cream coming or not. You see, that's the point. She's sober in spirit. Oh, there's nothing, one commentator said, it says here that we are to be awake, no sleeping. How? And he says, how is that supposed to work for a Christian? Do we never take off time for ourselves? And I thought, oh, how silly. We can work those kind of things out. But we're to be awake. I'm hurrying, Steve. Try not to be too late. Now, just so you know stuff in here, Matthew's gospel at the end of chapter of what we know as Mark chapter 13, or at the end of chapter 24, verse 37 of Matthew's gospel, there's a whole section of parables about the Lord's coming. And I don't know that Matthew puts in at this point. What we have in Mark is just what Mark got from Peter. This could have been a very elaborate, much longer teaching. But there's a vigilance there. There's the parable of Noah. No one was worried about, the flood. Everybody was oblivious to the flood except the one man that needed to know, and he knew. And then the parable about the two people working, one taken and the one not. Did you know Christ, when he comes, all the relationships in life will break down into meaninglessness? It doesn't matter who your boss is at that time or who your wife is or who you're in bed with. In the old days, people had just two beds and everybody slept in the two. We had a family bed when we were at our house over there in Wildwood. All the kids slept with us. Isn't that right? We had to bribe them to get them out. But the point is, you have these family relationships, business relationships, all these things that hold society together. One's taken and one's not. One's caught up into the heavens to meet Christ in the air, and the other one's standing there, oh my goodness. The other parable in Matthew chapter 24 is a thief breaking in. There's the parable of the servant. There's the parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the talents. And finally, the last judgment in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. But the point is, Mark doesn't go into all that. He just says, what I say to all, I say to you, I say to all. As if, I kind of like this, it's as if Jesus didn't know that Peter was listening to this and that would one day preach it in Rome and then Mark would put it down in a gospel. He knew everybody was going to get what Jesus was saying here, what he was saying. But he makes it clear, I'm saying this to everybody. Peter had asked, who's this for? Everybody. So it puts it very plain here. But what I say to all. Now, what's at risk of being asleep? Luke adds this. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, the cares of life, that the day come upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. Everybody. No secret business going on here. Everybody will know it. But watch at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all these things that will take place. Now, what does that mean? He says, to be able to stand before the Son of Man. Did you know what? Us being able to stand at His coming and to look Him in the face is all that matters. Our ability to stand before Him. We are a great fellowship. We are the fellowship of those who keep the night watch. We are a fellowship of those who keep awake, sober. We are a fellowship of laborers in a great house. We all have varied jobs. I don't have yours and you don't have mine, but we all have the command, watch. So with that, we're going to go on to other subjects next week. All right.